Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 75. God comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and bid the weak be strong. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity. Hymn number 75. The scriptural will be given by Imogen from Australia.
The Bible, 1 Corinthians. For I am the least of the apostles, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious,
hallowed be thy name,
adorable one,
thy
kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let us now sing hymn number 274. Partners of a glorious hope, lift your hearts and voices up. Nobly let us bear the strife, keep the holiness of life. Hymn number 274.
Glorious hope,
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice Christian Science better every day in our lives. And we had another really good one this morning, so if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You'll also be able to find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets every Sunday at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is open and available to children anywhere in the world. In fact, many of our students don't live in the area, but they attend via telephone through a dedicated teleconference number just for the Sunday school. That means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend by telephone. So call us, call the church. We'll be happy to give you the number for the Sunday school. And our teachers will be more than happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives transformed, literally, through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services and meetings, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up in person, you can bring the whole family. We have several websites in several languages, and that is our outreach to the world. And everything that we offer, which is the finest of Christian Science literature, also the finest music, everything that we offer is free of charge. And you can read, download, print, listen to anything and everything on our websites without charge. Freely we have received, and freely we give. And one of the items that is featured on our English-speaking website is an excellent article by Elma S. Whitmore entitled, All That I Have Is Thine. Very, very fine article. And I'd also like to point out that we also have a separate website for children, actually quite rich in content. It follows Mrs. Eddy's instructions for teaching children that she has in the manual, including the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer with its spiritual interpretation from the textbook, and also the Sermon on the Mount. These can all be found on the children's website. In addition to that, we also have a lot of other things, including this week's lesson for the Sunday school. And to find the children's website, all you have to do is go to the main English language website, look down for the quick links section of the front page, and you'll find children's website there. All you have to do is click it, and it'll take you right to the children's website. So even if your child can't attend Sunday school, there's a wonderful stuff there for every child. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from miscellaneous writings that attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will now be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
This is a letter from March 19, 1894. Reverend Mary B. G. Eddy, Boston, Massachusetts. I wish to thank you for the true light that was revealed to me by reading your book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and at once adopting its teaching. It was 1 year ago today that I put on the armor, determined never to surrender to the enemy. And you may know I have looked forward to this day with a great deal of pleasure, to show my friends that the Lord is constantly with me to help overcome all evil. Some said when I first started in this new path, wait until you get one of your stomach attacks and you will change your mind. For months they have waited and are beginning to see the truth in my actions that speak for themselves and show that all is mind. For nearly 30 years, I have been a sufferer from throat and stomach troubles, bronchitis, dyspepsia, gastroalgia, and gastritis, etc., were the terms applied by my physicians. About 18 years of that time, I was engaged in the drug business, had constant opportunities for consulting the best physicians, and took such medicine as I felt assured would cure me, but only to be disappointed each time. The last few years, I've been living on oatmeal crackers and hot water, suffering more or less all the time, and I could not eat anything else without suffering intense pain. I felt as though I could not live many months more and was getting ready to give up the fight when a dear friend and neighbor, Mrs. Corning, left a copy of Science and Health at our home. At first, I did not care to read it, having been educated for many years in the belief that medicine can cure all diseases. I could not conceive of anything else to cure the sick. One Sunday, I had the curiosity to know something about this Christian Science, and I read Science and Health. The more I read, the more interested I became, and finally I said to myself, I will try it. I took a large porous plaster and 4 thicknesses of flannel off my stomach and threw them in the corner, saying, now it shall be mind over matter, no more matter over mind. I filled a large basket full of bottles containing medicine and put it in the shed where all medicine should be. From that day, I have eaten everything on the table and all I wished. Coffee was my worst enemy, and I have not tasted it for years without suffering untold agony. Several days passed before I cared to drink it. Then one morning, I told my family I will commence to use it. I did, and have used it every day since, and don't know that I have had a stomach, as it has never caused me any trouble since that morning. I am happy to say I have not used a drop of any kind of medicine, internally or externally, from that day, and I know that all is mind. I read the Bible and Science and Health nearly every day, thanking the Lord for the years of suffering which have led me to the truth as taught by our Savior. For I feel it was only through its victory over the suffering that the truth could have been revealed in my case. I have had some demonstrations to make over error, but each time it becomes easier. God is ever present and ready to help me, and I trust in him. My faith is planted on a rock that is immovable. Yours truly, Frank S. Eberhardt. And postscript, if you think this letter or any part of it will help someone out of darkness into the light of truth, you are at liberty to have it published.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. We shall now read scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook. These comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the text in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 8 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Probation After Death. The golden text is from Revelation. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. The responsive reading is from John. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice,
and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. I will read from the Bible. Isaiah. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it. John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Then after that saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus saith unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping with which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Romans. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. 1 Corinthians. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Carol will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Life is eternal. We should find this out and begin the demonstration thereof. Life and goodness are immortal. Spiritual man is the image or idea of God, an idea which cannot be lost nor separated from its divine principle. God, divine good, does not kill a man in order to give him eternal life, for God alone is man's life. God is at once the center and circumference of being. It is evil that dies. Good dies not. Jesus said substantially, "He that believeth in me shall not see death." That is, he who perceives the true idea of life loses his belief in death. He who has the true idea of good loses all sense of evil, and by reason of this is being ushered into the undying realities of spirit. Such a one abideth in life, life obtained not of the body incapable of supporting life, but of truth unfolding its own immortal idea. The admission to oneself that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. This conviction shuts the door on death and opens it wide towards immortality. The understanding and recognition of spirit must finally come, and we may as well improve our time in solving the mysteries of being through an apprehension of divine principle. At present, we know not what man is, but we certainly shall know this when man reflects God. Jesus said of Lazarus, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Jesus restored Lazarus by the understanding that Lazarus had never died, not by an admission that his body had died and then lived again. Had Jesus believed that Lazarus had lived or died in his body, the Master would have stood on the same plane of belief as those who buried the body, and he could not have resuscitated it. The material body and mind are temporal, but the real man is spiritual and eternal. The identity of the real man is not lost, but found through this explanation. For the conscious infinitude of existence and of all identity is thereby discerned and remains unchanged. It is impossible that man should lose aught that is real when God is all and eternally his. The notion that man is in matter and that the so-called pleasures and pains, the birth, sin, sickness, and death of matter are real is a mortal belief, and this belief is all that will ever be lost. The science of being reveals man as perfect, even as the Father is perfect, because the soul or mind of the spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being. And because this real man is governed by soul instead of sense, by the law of spirit, not by the so-called laws of matter. Death is but another phase of the dream that existence can be material. Nothing can interfere with the harmony of being, nor end the existence of man in science. Man is the same after as before a bone is broken or the body guillotined. If man is never to overcome death, why do the scriptures say the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death? The tenor of the word shows that we shall obtain the victory over death in proportion as we overcome sin. Jesus' unchanged physical condition after what seemed to be death was followed by his exaltation above all material conditions. And this exaltation explained his ascension and revealed unmistakably a probationary and progressive state beyond the grave. If the change called death destroyed the belief in sin, sickness, and death, happiness would be won at the moment of dissolution and be forever permanent. But this is not so. Perfection is gained only by perfection. They who are unrighteous shall be unrighteous still, until in divine science, Christ, truth, removes all ignorance and sin. The sin and error which possess us at the instant of death do not cease at that moment, but endure until the death of these errors. To be wholly spiritual, man must be sinless, and he becomes thus only when he reaches perfection. The murderer, though slain in the act, does not thereby forsake sin. He is no more spiritual for believing that his body died and learning that his cruel mind died not. His thoughts are no purer until evil is disarmed by good. His body is as material as his mind, and vice versa. The supposition that sin is pardoned while unforsaken, that happiness can be genuine in the midst of sin, that the so-called death of the body frees from sin, and that God's pardon is aught but the destruction of sin, these are grave mistakes. We know that all will be changed in the twinkling of an eye when the last trump shall sound. But this last call of wisdom cannot come till mortals have already yielded to each lesser call in the growth of Christian character. Mortals need not fancy that belief in the experience of death will awaken them to glorified being. Universal salvation rests on progression and probation and is unattainable without them. Heaven is not a locality, but a divine state of mind in which all the manifestations of mind are harmonious and immortal, because sin is not there, and man is found having no righteousness of his own, but in possession of the mind of the Lord, as the scripture says. When we wait patiently on God and seek truth righteously, he directs our path. Imperfect mortals grasp the ultimate of spiritual perfection slowly. But to begin aright and to continue the strife of demonstrating the great problem of being is doing much. When it is learned that disease cannot destroy life, and that mortals are not saved from sin or sickness by death, this understanding will quicken into newness of life. It will master either a desire to die or a dread of the grave, and thus destroy the great fear that besets mortal existence. Life is real, and death is the illusion. Man's privilege at this supreme moment is to prove the words of our Master, "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." To divest thought of false trusts and material evidences in order that the spiritual facts of being may appear, this is the great attainment by means of which we shall sweep away the false and give place to the true. Thus we may establish in truth the temple or body whose builder and maker is God.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 304. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Shepherd, show me how to go o'er the hillside steep, how to gather, how to sow, how to feed thy sheep. I will listen for thy voice, lest my footsteps stray. I will follow and rejoice all the rugged way. Hymn number 304.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 290. Press on, press on, ye sons of light, untiring in your holy fight, still treading each temptation down and battling for a brighter crown. Hymn number 290.
Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John 14, Christ Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen.